The New International Version. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Okay. So I'm going to get off to a good start by saying I don't like righteous people. I'm afraid. I don't like them at all. In fact, some of the people who have hurt me most in my life have been people who were overtly righteous, stern, filled with the Spirit, and always willing to give a shady glance at anyone who should say the word bum in church. Heaven forfend. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, for they will have the moral high ground, as someone on Twitter commented. So this is a strange way of beginning, isn't it, really? Why is this the way I go into discussing righteousness? Because I talk to a lot of people, partly through my social life, or through church, or through work, or whatever, other things, and I talk to a lot of people who are from a Christian background, but have nothing to do with it. And the reason they want nothing to do with it is because they have encountered people, in many cases, who embody that form of righteousness. And they feel alienated and excluded from it. And so when I received the email, I was at my desk at work, I looked at the email and I found out that I'm going to be speaking on this particular beatitude. My instant reaction was, oh gosh, do I have to, really? And I even thought about replying and saying, look, can I swap this out for another one, please? But I thought, you know what, I've been asked to do it, so I will do it. But actually, when I began to connect some very obvious dots, I realized that actually God doesn't like that kind of righteousness either. And so I want to give one of my sort of auxiliary Bible quotes on this. And God's very clear about this, or Jesus is very clear about this, because he says this within a page or so of saying this beatitude, still in the Sermon on the Mount, which is where he says, blessed are the righteous. He says, again, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to say their prayers standing up in the synagogue at the street corners for everyone to see them. I tell you this, they have had their reward already. But when you pray, go into a room by yourself, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is there in the secret place. And your Father who sees what is secret will reward you. And that's very reassuring in some ways to me at least, because God doesn't like that kind of righteousness either. And I think what I'm describing here in many ways is the difference between self-righteousness and righteousness. But what that showed me is that clearly I have issues with the word righteousness, but also, what then is righteousness if it's not that? It must be something else. So I did a little search. And curiously enough, it seems that a lot of other people aren't sure what righteousness means either. I looked at various interpretations of this verse by various people from various different countries. Some feel that righteousness is about behavior. It's about fasting, it's about prayer, it's about Bible reading, it's about the practices of being a Christian. Okay, I can see that. For some people, it's about conduct and thinking. It's the desire, the internal desire, to live out God's word and to genuinely listen to his commands and to the voice of God within us that says, gives us some direction on how we live our lives and how we make our choices. Or maybe it's nothing to do with that at all. This is the Bible I was given, or I sort of quasi-inherited without asking, from my dad. And this interprets the same beatitude very differently. This is the New English Version. It says, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst to see right prevail. But that doesn't mention ourselves, us, as the individual at all. That's about a broader desire to see the success of that which is right. So righteousness means many things to many people. And I think what I've taken from it, from that little search, is that righteousness, perhaps the safest and simplest way of interpreting it, is for us and the world, for everything, to be right with God, to be the way that God would have it, the way that God would order it. And that's a challenging thought. It's also quite an inspiring one. And so at this point, being a historian, I wondered what the ancients made of this all. And so I went back to the original Greek and Syriac manuscript. No, I didn't know what to Wikipedia. But they do say some interesting things. Ambrose says that you can never achieve righteousness, but you must struggle to achieve it. I agree with that. We are flawed. We're never going to get there all the way, but the point is to try. Yep, on board with that. John Chrysostom also said something very interesting about this. And what I find so interesting about these classical writers is when they read that beatitude, the word that draws their eye is not righteousness. It's thirst. It's that internal, it's that desire, that sense of passion, that sense of wanting to see something done. That's what gets them. And John Chrysostom said that to hunger for righteousness is to feel the same passion for good, for God's will, that others feel for vice, for avarice, self-promotion, ambition, the things we all know about, let's face it. It's to feel that passion, but to feel it in the pursuit of what is right for God, for ourselves, for the world around us. And St. Augustine spoke about it like a food. It's to recognize that we have a need. We have a need. We are built to be in communication with God. We are built to be in a codependent relationship with God. And that feeling that sense of thirst, that sense of spiritual hunger, is the same as being hungry for ordinary food. It's the desire to receive something that will help us grow and to remain healthy. All wise words. But that in some ways broke me out of my fixation on the word righteousness, because there is more than one significant word here. And the word thirst and hunger is something I can relate to, actually. And so I'll share a little bit of my own journey as a Christian, which is that I went to Soul Survivor in Minehead. Did anyone else go to Soul Survivor in Minehead? Very good. And I loved it. But on the last day, something that has literally changed my life is that someone prayed for me, and they had a prophetic word for me, and they spoke something over me, which I've never forgotten, which is that... all right, I will share it. It's to pursue education as far as you'll possibly go, and then to speak out truth to as wide an audience as possible. And I've tried to do that. And what's important is not so much the mission I was given, so much as the fire it lit in my belly. And Dina will tell you that that fire hasn't changed one day since I first got it. It's still there right now. It's what gets me up in the morning. It hasn't changed. So I do understand the word thirst. That's something I can relate to. And it's important. It drives me forwards. And I suppose that at the root of it all are the words, it's not good enough. The way things are, the way I am, the way the world is, the way that we look at things, it's not good enough. It's not how God would see it. And that's something that I find, that from which I continue to draw day by day. But there's another quality to this verse as well that strikes me, and that is that when I read the Beatitudes, I think somehow I read them a bit like a checklist of things that are almost desirable, things that are certainly blessed, because that's what it says. Supposed to be meek, okay, show mercy, yep, get that. Peacemaker, good, yes. Persecuted, less keen, but kind of see the point. It reads like a checklist, and I'm thinking about me in this. But actually, what I've come to realize is that it's not a checklist, actually. It's a series of promises. These are not things God is saying, I want from you, necessarily. These are things God is saying that he will do and that he will offer. Another aspect of me is that in throughout the Bible you hear about the spiritual gifts, the gifts you can have, or the gifts of the Spirit, or the fruits of the Spirit, and the various virtues that are described either by Jesus or by the apostles or people like that. And among these, the gift that, or that, it's not a gift actually, it's but one of the qualities that's described that I can relate to, that I feel I have and that has been planted in me more than perhaps many of the others, is hope. I am a hopeful person, I think. And that doesn't mean that I see the world through rose-tinted glasses. I don't. I'm going to read a passage here which I continually come back to, which I continually come back to when thinking about the world today in all its various shades and hues. The time is coming when you will hear the noise of battle near at hand, and the news of battles far away. See that you are not alarmed. Such things are bound to happen, but the end is still to come. For nation will make war upon nation, kingdom upon kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many places. With all these things, the birth pangs of the new age begin. And that's reassuring. That's later on in Matthew. That's Matthew 24, 6 to 13. Because again, there's a promise there. And there's a promise here too. Let's just reread the main verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I see that as being very similar to the verse I just read out about wars and famines, because it's a promise. It's a promise saying that the way things are is not going to be the way that things are in the long term. There is an end coming which is better than this. Those who thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. And I think there's a great deal of hope in that. There's a great deal of hope that if we seek what's right, even if we don't understand it, the things that I do at work, I teach people about the Crusades, and I write books about it. I talk about Christians killing thousands of people. That is a very strange way of serving God. I've always thought so. And it's taken a very, very long time for me to realize, as I began to do about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, how in fact that does serve God's will. But for a long time, I didn't understand it. To some extent, I've still got a way to go on that particular journey, but I trusted that there was a purpose, and I followed that hunger. And I think the same thing can be true in the world as a whole. We don't understand why things happen the way they do. We don't see how our actions can really make much of a change, can impact the things that are changing, the things that in many cases are getting worse around us. But I think this verse is about hope. It's God saying there is an end in sight. There is another day coming. There is something we are aiming for, even if we can't see it, perhaps, right now. And I think the final thing I like about this verse, the thing which really strikes me, is that the verse is about cooperation. I've talked about that sense of hope, that sense of a world to come, that sense of desiring, having a thirst for what is right. But also it shows how we, human beings, how we interact with God, how we cooperate with God in that. There have been people through history who have presented God as if God, it's just God who shapes history, and we're carried along like passengers on a bus. And there have been other people who think that God stands back and lets us get on with it, make our own mistakes. But actually, this offers a different vision. We're expected, we're encouraged, we are blessed for thirsting for righteousness, for thirsting for the world to be right with God. And God, in exchange, makes us the promise that we will be filled, that that promise will be answered. And so I think that preparing this sermon has actually done me a great deal of good. It's caused me to rethink and to question some of the perhaps damage-filled interpretations of the word righteousness. And perhaps if I can give my version or give my interpretation of this verse, I would give it something like this, if I were to give my sort of spin on it, or the way it impacts on me. Blessed are those who want themselves and the world around them to be right with God, for God promises they will be filled. And that's the way I take it. Thank you.